This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to part two of Next on the Tee. We're not done yet. Coming up, more stories, more insight, and more reasons to love this game. Let's dive right back in. Part two starts now, right here on Next on the Tee, where golf legends live and your game gets better.
Hello, folks, and thank you for coming back for part two of this week's show featuring my conversation with Dwight Stone. Dwight is a former Steelers, Panthers, and Jets wide receiver, running back, and special teams player, a guy who had a fantastic career in college at Middle Tennessee State. He's in their Hall of Fame. He's also a guy who spanned both Chuck Knoll and Bill Cowher's career, kind of got Knoll at the end, Cowher at the beginning. You're going to hear a lot of fantastic stories from Dwight. He's just a wonderful human being, a guy who meant a lot, obviously, to the Pittsburgh area, a great player, a guy who went on after his playing career to spend 13 years in the Charlotte Police Force and is now back home in Alabama. So sit back, relax, let us take your mind off everything else going on in your life for the next 90 minutes or so. Okay, but before we get into all of that, I want to start off by reminding you about our wonderful friends over at 2Under. 2Under men's performance briefs are the unofficial underwear of the PGA, Ryder Cup, and President's Cup teams, and are sold in over 3,000 golf pro shops and golf specialty retailers nationwide. Ricky Fowler is their global ambassador, and over 50 other PGA, Korn Ferry, and Champions Tour players wear them. Just to mention a few, they are David Toms, Jerry Kelly, Justin Thomas, William McGirt, Scott McCarron, and Chris DeMarco. The Joey Pouch technology provides the ultimate male asset management, delivering maximum comfort from the tee box to the boardroom to the bedroom. Go to 2under.com to check out the bundle specials that offer substantial discounts for being a Next on the Tee listener. That's the number 2UNDR.com. 2Under, performance in your pants.
Sure, this is golf, but so is this, and this, and this is definitely golf, and so is this. Hey, that's not golf. Oh wait, yeah, it is. And no matter what your golf is, you're gonna need a store. No, a superstore. A place to get fit for a new club and walk out with it the same day. A place to find the perfect fit. A place to do whatever this is, because this is golf, and this is golf's superstore.
All right, now back in Next on the Tee with me is former Steelers, Panthers, and Jets wide receiver, running back, and special teams player Dwight Stone. Let me remind you about Dwight's background. He's from Floralla, Alabama. He started his college career at Marion Military Institute before moving over to Middle Tennessee State for his final 2 years. In his senior season, he rushed for over 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns, and was named to the Ohio Valley All-Conference team. He helped them to an undefeated regular season and a number one ranking in 1985. He still ranks among the career leaders there in single season scoring, single season rushing, career carries, single season touchdowns, career touchdowns, plus several others there at Middle Tennessee State. He was inducted into their Hall of Fame in 1998. He was signed by the Pittsburgh Steelers as an undrafted free agent in 1987. He played in the league from 87 to 2000. When he was with the Steelers, he ran a 4.25 in the 40, and Chuck Knoll said he was the fastest player he ever coached. After retiring from the NFL, he served on the Charlotte Police Force for 13 years, and I couldn't be more excited. I get to speak to him more this week here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Dwight, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm blessed more than I deserve. Matter of fact, I'm out with me, my wife, and two daughters, and the other one's coming in about few days, and spend some time down here in Floralla, Alabama. How about that?
Good for you. That's awesome.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's a blessed day.
Dwight, training camp obviously has opened up. Steelers have reported to Latrobe. Are you jonesing? Do you miss being out there with the guys?
Well, you know, you miss it. Then you realize after you get up and you're a little sore then from doing nothing, then you realize you don't miss it that much. So that's where I'm at.
With the Steelers being back there at Latrobe, that's the training camp site it has been for several decades. Do you remember the first time you checked into Latrobe and showed up for your first Steelers training camp?
Oh, yes, I do. I remember. You know, I was a free agent. I didn't have the privilege of, you know, having a vehicle, you know, pretty much. I fly into Pittsburgh. I see a van waiting outside, holding my name up. I'm like, okay. I thought I was the only one on the van, so I felt kind of special. Then I realized there are six other guys getting on the van. So we all get on the van, and we drive to Latrobe. And I'm thinking like, okay, this is like I'm going to prison. I mean, it's like you're in there, you get hot inside the van. You get there, and they drop you out. I said, all right, grab your stuff, go to your dorm. I said, okay. I get there, I look around. I'm like, man, this is beautiful out here. You know, I can do this right here. I'm from Alabama. Everybody say it's hot. I'm loving this weather. I'm loving it. I go inside, sign in, you know, and I'm looking around, thinking like, wow, this is where all those guys like Mike Webster, Donnie Shell, Lynn Swan, John Stallworth, Terry Bradshaw, Mean Joe Gray. You go down the list. I was like, man, I'm going to be a part of this just going inside the dorm. And going there, I didn't really know what to expect. You know, La Country Boy in Florella, I think it's like 1,964 people live in Florella. Then we had three red lights. They took two of them out. I think we got one red light. So when I got there, it was just one of those things, eye-opener, and I was like a deer in headlights.
You were with the Steelers in 91 and 92, 91 being Chuck Knoll's last season, 92 being Bill Cowher's first season.
Yes.
I'm not sure there are two coaches with more contrasting styles than those two guys. What was it like going from the end of the Knoll era and the start of the Cowher era?
Coach Knoll is very laid back, but he's very aggressive in his own ways. You can tell he don't have to, you know, get up in your face. Certain facial looks he give you and a little grunt here and there, you know you're not doing good. You may not be here. Okay, Coach Cowher is more in your face. Jumping around, you're thinking like, whoa, coach, I know you used to play NFL, slow it down, like coach, like he having flashbacks. I said, coach, wait a minute now. You can't be hitting the players like that. But he's talking about energetic. He'll make you have energy. Even when you're tired, he goes out there. I mean, he's full go every time you see him. I'm like, coach, can you slow down a little bit? He says, Stone, we can't have time to slow down. I got too much work to do. I'm following Coach Knoll's footsteps. So after that, I kept my mouth closed. I said, okay, keep doing what you're doing. So,
Dwight Greg Lloyd is a wonderful friend of this show. I'm not sure there was ever a more intense player in the game than 95 was. It didn't matter if it was in practice or during the game on Sundays. What was it like for you lining up across the line of scrimmage from Greg at practice?
Okay, well, we came in the same year, 87. Me and Greg came in. And, you know, I'm a running back, and I hear this guy, you know, like he wearing this shirt, 95, you know, like, okay, you know, we're both rookies, you know, it's all right. So as I saw it hit a couple of people, I'm like, wait a minute, maybe he's not a rookie, you know, maybe he's a different level than we are. But, yeah, we had a good deal. Me and Greg had a good deal because he didn't hit me because we came in the same year, and we told him that, you know, You can't hit your buddy that came in the same year that you came in. So we had that little pack. So, but yeah, I used to see Greg hit people, and I used to feel the aching for them. You know, even though I wasn't getting hit, I see them get hit. I'm like, oh, man, that had to hurt. I said, I'm feeling it, you know. And I tell you, and Greg is one of the nicest guys off the field. Soft-spoken, easygoing. If you didn't know that guy was who he was on television. He was thinking, oh, that's a very nice guy. He's a very big guy, but he's a very nice guy. But he can turn it on and turn it off at a drop of a dime.
100%.
Yes.
You guys had a tight end, Eric Green, that when this is the era of tight ends, there's so many great tight ends in and around the NFL.
Yes.
Boy, when I look back at Eric Green and what a tremendous player he was and what might have been if he didn't get injured as often, as unfortunately he was, but you got to see him in practice. Tell everybody about and remind everybody about Eric Green.
Okay. Eric Green's size is like when you see somebody, you see the lineman run out, you see the fullbacks, the receivers, and the tight ends. And so you see this guy running behind the tight end. He said, oh, he must have got left from the front line. You know, he's lagging behind. And he lined up. I was like, wait a minute. He got an 86 shirt on. I was like, is that a, wait a minute. He may have a different shirt on. So I go up there and I look at him. I said, okay, this is Eric Green. This is Eric, a guy from Liberty. They draft. I said, is he a tight end? He said, yeah. I said, ain't no way. I said, he cannot be that good and get drafted first round if he wasn't good. So I went out, we counted that practice, and I saw him do things that receivers can do. And I'm thinking like, oh my goodness. And believe me, he had a lot of packing in the back, you know. So when he started blocking you, I mean, it kind of like, okay, you can let go now. And I had the pleasure of being his babysitter. Coach Noe came to me, said, Dwight, I got a guy I want you to be your roommate. And I'm at the age now where I'll get my own room now. Yeah, I'm thinking like, okay. He said, I said, well, Coach, who's gonna be? He said, you will see. So I go up in the room the night before game. I see this, I'm like, oh, hey, who's this coming in here? I'm like, lo and behold, it was Eric Green. I said, you gotta be kidding me. I said, I'm gonna tell you right now. I said, you're bigger than I am, and you can wear me up in this room, you know. But I'm going to tell you right now, I got this bed because I got seniority. I said, but if you want it, I'm not going to argue and fight you over. You can have it. And he thought the funniest thing in the world. Me and Eric have grown to be great friends. We speak probably once a week. We email each other sometime 20, 30 times in one day.
Oh, my.
Yes, I know you think we're a bunch of women gossiping, but you know, we're talking about stupid things, silly things, but we just laugh about how we, you know, got to know each other and how we're still friends after all these years. Same thing with Greg Lord. I talk to Greg probably once a month, you know, I talk to him and we still laugh about the same thing. We get together sometime and it's just so nice to have guys like that that who are still around that you still can enjoy and say certain things that they'll laugh at because they know what you're talking about. Well, this day and time, you know, they play touch football between the lines. They don't play tackle anymore. and you get to make all this money. You know, I'm not mad at them. Hey, you get it. But I feel like, wow, wouldn't that be nice to be in this era? You know, but yes, me and Eric are great friends.
Dwight, when I look at your career numbers, 154 catches for just under 2,500 yards, 16 yards per reception, 103 carries, 596 yards, nearly 6 yards a carry, 186 kickoff returns for over 3,900 yards, so over 21 yards per return. I mean, you produced wherever they put you. Did you ever ask Chuck Knoll or any of the other head coaches that you played for, like, what do I got to do to get more touches?
Well, I told Coach Knoll, I said, hey, you had enough faith in me to be the only free agent to make the team. The least I can do when you ask me to do something, I'm going to give my full effort. And I mean, God have blessed me to have people like Coach Noah along the way. I was blessed to have back in Marion, a coach called Coach Hooker. And also the general, Colonel Murphy, I became great friends with him. His daddy started the school. And I'm telling you how blessed I was. You know, I know I'm off for Coach Noah, but yes, I was blessed because when I was in Marion, I went to visit the school with a friend. I was tagging along. Going with him and his dad. I was like, you came out following the room. His name was Joy Jackson. He's still living too. But yes, we went there to visit and I got there. I was like, man, this is where I would love to be. This was, you know, but when I got there, they told me how much it costs to go to school there. I was like, it costs more to go to school there than my mom made a year. I said, well, I won't be going here. and they told me, they gave me a test to take and I took the test. And I guess I did pretty good. They said, hey, what we can do is offer you a Pell Grant, and also we could offer you a partial scholarship. And I said, hey, whatever y'all want to do, I said, I appreciate it. And one of the best experience I ever had. A year and a half there, the coaches, I still go back there now, and I do speaking engagement for them, thanking them back. I said, I can never repay you for the trust you put in me. I said, well, God knows that whenever I go somewhere, I do mention Marion, because y'all took a chance on me. Well, you didn't have to. Mom, I had four brothers. I said four brothers, two sisters, living in the projects. We had three bunk beds and one room, me and my brothers, two beds and my sister's room, and one of my mom was single. And that's my heart. I mean, that right there is why I still thank Jesus every day, you know, for having a mom like that. And she's, matter of fact, I'm down here in Florella, spend some time with her. She's 95 and she's getting around better than I am. I said, Mom, what are you doing? I said, I hope I have them kind of genes, you know, but yes. I've been blessed. But yeah, back to Coach No, the best thing ever. And Coach Carroll was an ideal fit for him to come in when Coach No left.
1991, the first game of the season, home opener. He had four catches for 124 yards and a 26-20 win over the Chargers, including an 89-yard touchdown pass from Neil O'Donnell in the fourth quarter to help seal that win. How fulfilling was that touchdown in that game for you?
Wow. It was like, how it started was Coach No came in there, I think after my rookie year, and he said, hey, we're going to move you from running back to receiver. I'm like, oh, they're getting ready to cut me. That's what they're getting ready to cut me. I've seen this story before. We said, no, we'll be patient with you, Dwight. We're going to work you at receiver. You'll never be as great as one, but the more you can do, the longer you'll be around. So it felt great making that touchdown because of what Coach No believed in me. And I wanted to make sure that I show my appreciation on the field and off the field. Now, the kicker is, how about this right here? I was the last one to score a touchdown for Coach No before he retired. I had the football that when he retired, that was the last game I made the last touchdown, offensive touchdown.
Wow.
And I have the football. I'm like, hey, how about that?
That's awesome.
It is by me, but it's a little ideal. I mean, I'm so happy because the Pittsburgh fans are the best. I mean, like, they're the best. Bar none. My wife is from Ohio. She was a Cleveland Brown fan. I think she still may be on the side. But she learned real quick that she won't be on a winning team. So she really realized that the Steelers are the real one.
There you go. You went over to Carolina with Dom Capers for the birth of the Carolina Panthers in 1995. What was it like being a founding member of a new team?
It was ideal. I mean, you get to meet guys like Don Beebe. You got to meet Frank Wright. You got to meet Sam Mills. You got Lamar Latham, Gerald Williams. I mean, you got to meet a whole lot of guys. And we call ourselves the Misfits. You know, like you see the Christmas when they have and toys that no one wanted anymore because they got tired of them. So they kind of threw them aside and they don't want to play with them. We have nothing else to do. So we all thought we was the Misfits. You know, no one wanted us. No one, you know, the finals glamorous. But it was like ideal. All the veterans respected the other one. You know, you had guys with 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, 12 years. And we all went there with no egos. You know, we all understood that, hey, if this guy wins the job, he has the job. You know, do our best, you know, to back him. But it was no bickering, you know, back and forth. And Mr. Richardson, I tell you, that's my guy. I love him and Darren. And Coach Capers, I tell you, I told him, I said, boy, if I ain't know any better, I must say, you're an angel. You're talking about one of the nicest Christian men there is. Coach Capers is the one. He is like ideal.
You ended your career in New York with the Jets. You guys played the Steelers in week 6 of the second season that you were there. You had a couple of kick returns in that game.
Yes.
What was it like going up against your old teammates, this time being a Jet?
It's like I was told, hey, don't make no mistake. Someone run over there. And by mistake, you know, because you used to be on that side. Remember what jersey you got on? And I remember Coach Parcells said, look different, doesn't it? I said, yeah, you're talking about a crazy and a loving guy. Parcells is him. But it was so weird. It's like you're looking, like you're dreaming. You're like, I'm supposed to be over there. That's the team I'm supposed to be at. And then they said, hey, throw it out your system real quick, because if we don't win, we're going to blame you. I said, okay. I said, well, don't worry about that. So, yes, I mean, each team I went to, each owner, each coach, each player, I mean, I had the best experience. God had put me in a place that was fitting for me at the moment, what I needed. I always told God, I pray for this. And everything that I prayed for was God timing. And each time he did it, it was better than I could ever thought of.
Dwight, let's talk a little golf. You co-host an annual celebrity golf tournament that raises funds for Tools for School and Chase Your Marvelous Dream Foundation. I believe this year was your 16th annual tournament supporting them. Talk about the tournament and the great things you're doing there.
Oh, yes. This is a good friend of mine back in Murfreesboro who we were sitting around and we was talking about, you know, what can we do no longer playing? You know, what can we do for us giving back? So everybody said, you know what? There's a lot of golf course around here. And there's a lot of things going on. His name is Wayne Buckingham. He used to play for Clemson. If you see this guy, he's matter of fact, he reminds me of Eric Green. I mean, big as I don't know what. But yes, I mean, our golf thing is to give back to kids and family like mine. When I was growing up in the projects, you know, like I said, you know, people were giving us things. And that's just the same way. I see single moms, single dads, people growing up, you know, they're not blessed to have things, but very appreciative of what they have. And they're very thankful. And every year that we have it, we have a great turnout of professional, former guys from NBA, from the Major League Baseball, from NFL football, from women WNBA. I mean, it's just a group of nice people. And each year we do it in Murfreesboro, it gets bigger and gets nicer because people are coming back wanting to say, when are you going to have that again? When is it? They're excited for us to do that. And it's a blessing to give back because I look at those kids. Now I remember my mom, you know, working from 11 at night to 6 in the morning or 3 at 3 in the afternoon and 11. And I always said that if I ever, ever got a position, I will bless my mom. I mean, because you talk about a strong lady. And I was like, she is strong. She's 95 and still moving around.
I saw Tim Worley was one of the guys that comes out and plays in the tournament and is with you guys. Tim's a wonderful friend of this show. What's your favorite Tim Worley story?
Oh, Tim Worley. Okay. Okay. You know, as a rookie, you know, back it up. We had a mini camp, and our first mini camp for the rookies, Tim was coming in, and we're staying at Duquesne College. And, you know, we stayed at the college and everything. And we said, anybody seen Tim? Tim was holding out, ended up signing. So we see this car come around, and I'm thinking like, okay, is that Miami Vice, you know? He pulled in his Mercedes. I'm thinking like, what in the world? Who in the world is this? And it's Tim Worley. I said, it must be pretty darn nice, you know, to be able to you know, do things like this right here. Oh, man, you know, you just got to work hard, Stone. You can get more, Stone. You want to take it around the corner? I said, no, man, I can see right now. I put a dent in this car, my whole check would be gone. I can't do it. But you know what? The funniest, most talented guy, he can sing like you will not believe it. He's a better jokester than any comedian. I mean, this guy, he can dance. He ride motorcycles. He got yelled at by the Roonies, put that motorcycle up until you finish playing football or you finish playing with the Steelers. So I didn't see him ride a motorcycle no more while he's with the Steelers. But yes, Tim is a great guy. Matter of fact, like I said, I just saw him. And we talk to each other off and on and more if we're closer to like a tournament or something like that. But his life is turned around. And I gave him a hug. I said, Tim, I say, you know, I always try to tell you, you know, I can't force feed you the word of God. I said, but you got a lot you can be doing with your stage you got. And you see him now, I said, you know what, Tim? I said, all the touchdown, like everything that we talked about, I'm proud of you and what you're doing with your life right now.
100%.
Yes, he is.
Dwight, just a couple more before I let you go. And as a golfer and in the state of Alabama, a lot of good golfers in and around the state of Alabama, Georgia, and in Tennessee, where you go up to Murfreesboro. Where are some of the great places you enjoy playing?
Okay, now this is where the joke come in at. Now I want you laughing at me, okay? The guy said, I dress the look, you know, I have the shoes, I have the gear. Come out there, they're gonna like, oh, Stone about to knock this out, you know. I can't really play golf. Okay. That's between me and you, okay. See, so let me explain why I can't play golf. You know, growing up in my where I was at, we ain't playing no golf. All we knew was football and basketball. And so what I do right now is I dress the look, I cross my legs. Now when they start putt-putting, now I get on the green den, and every once in a while I make one. They said, Stone, why don't you start back where the tee at? And I said, because Stone, I would be here all day for Stone to get that ball on the green. So, but yes, it's fun, but I am not a golfer. But you know, if you want to play putt-putt, I putt you to death. I'm a putt-putt guy, you know. But you know, the guys who I don't understand how you can guide that ball the way they do, the distance that they do, and the accuracy, it's just amazing. It's just one of those things that I just shake my head and say, that's a blessing and hard work.
Indeed. Dwight, I got to get a prediction from you. When you look at the Steelers in this upcoming season, Aaron Rodgers in a quarterback.
Yes.
DK Metcalf in a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. What's your expectation? How do you think the team does this year?
I'm thinking they're going to the playoff. I mean, you know, maybe 97 pushing it, you know, but you know, they could go. But if you get them down, if you get on a hot streak like we did in Carolina, no one thought we were going to do our first year. No one thought we would do what we did. Or in Jacksonville, no one thought they'd do what they did. We had old guys, you know. Sometimes an older guy in the right fitting and another guy like Metcalf in there, you never know what can happen. I'm telling you, when your confidence get above and beyond, that's when things start to happen. And I won't be shocked if they don't make it. I would be shocked if they didn't make it, you know, but I expect them to make it. And I think they go 9-7 and they'll be able to squeeze it in barely.
Dwight, before I let you go, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the things that you're out there doing, the great things you're doing, okay, the charities that you're involved with? And is there a way for us to follow you online or on social media?
Oh, yeah, social media. See, I'm learning this new stuff. My daughters are teaching me this, okay? I'm on Facebook. I know it's Dwight Stone, okay? Look for the guy who looks kind of creepy. That'll be me. My girl just showed me, and I am on Instagram. Yeah, I'm on Instagram. Oh, something, yeah, okay. It's Dwight Stone. Now, are you confused?
We'll find you for sure.
Okay. I appreciate that. I appreciate the love.
Dwight, you're fantastic, my friend. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. I hope we get the privilege of catching it with you maybe a little bit later on this season. I'd love to get your thoughts.
That sounds great. You know, continue doing what you're doing. I mean, you're a blessing to so many. You know, they look at me, they look at Don Beebe, but it all starts with you. You put us on here to spread the word of Jesus Christ, and for you to be a brother like you are, I thank you for what you're doing. And we owe you the utmost respect from here. And I'm sure everybody respects you. That's why everyone is a pleasure to come on your show. And I appreciate you. Thank you very much for that.
I appreciate that very much. Dwight, take care, my friend. All the best to your mom. God bless her. And to the rest of your family. I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
You have a blessed one, brother. God bless.
You too. Folks, that is the wonderful Dwight Stone. What a guy. How fantastic is he? And what a great career. One of the things, like I said, you know, first of all, look, I mean, at Middle Tennessee State, he's in their Hall of Fame. He's still amongst their career leaders in so many different categories. But on top of that, you know, when you look at all of the stats for what he did over the course of his career, I don't understand why Knoll or Cowher or any of the other coaches weren't trying to feed him the ball. I mean, again, 16 yards per reception, nearly 6 yards a carry, 21 yards per return. I mean, how versatile. And he mentioned how how Noel talked to him about, you know, the more you can do, the more valuable you become. And that's certainly a thing in all of sports. But to have the numbers that he did, I would have guessed everyone would have looked at him and said, look, this is a guy we got to find a way to get the ball to more frequently for the number and the amount of production that he does every time he touches the football. So I'm surprised that he wasn't utilized more. But look, great guy, great career, went on to the police force in Charlotte and now doing some great things for a couple of wonderful charities through the course of a golf tournament. I mean, for a guy who doesn't play golf, to think, how can I give back? How can I have an impact on the community? And to figure, well, you know what? I don't play golf, but a lot of people do. Let's do a golf tournament. And it's out there every year, 16 years now, and it raises money for Tools for School and Chase Your Marvelous Dream Foundation. I think that's tremendous and speaks to who the man is. So thanks to him. And like I said, hopefully we get the opportunity, maybe during the football season, we can get him back on and get more of his thoughts and insights and stories from his time in the game. All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on this edition of Next on the Tee. My sincere thanks again to Eva Rogers, Don Beebe, and Dwight Stone for joining me. Scheduled to join me next week are Tom Patrick will be back. We'll get our regular monthly visit from the confidence doctor, Dr. Bob Winters, and our good friend Briston Peterson from On Point US. What a wonderful ball marker they put out there. It's my favorite one. It's the one I go to. It's the only one I have in my bag. So you'll hear why it's the best and the science behind it. Look, it's not just a pitch, man. We're talking science. We're talking about how does it impact the brain and help us make more putts. You'll hear about it next week. I also want to thank my friends over at the Pittsburgh Tribune-Review for hosting this show on their site. For coverage of everything going on in Western Pennsylvania, including your favorite sports, go to triplive.com. You can find this show by then clicking on the sports section tab. And then you're going to see the most recent episode front and center for you there on the homepage of the sports section. Or you can click on Sports and then Podcast Network. You'll see the Next on the Tee logo. Click on that. And then many of the most recent episodes from this season are going to be there front and center for you as well. You can also find this show out on Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, GolfNewsNet.com. Pretty much anywhere you get your podcast content, we're probably on that one as well. And as always, a huge thank you to the great folks over at Good Pods for making this show one of their recommended podcasts. So please download their free app and stream your favorite podcast right there on your favorite device. But like I say each and every time, the biggest thanks go out to each and every one of you for being the greatest supporters in the history of podcasts. I appreciate you all so very much. Until next time, hit them straight, my friends.
Thanks for joining Chris again this week on Next on the Tee. We hope you enjoyed the conversations as much as we did. Please share the show with your golf buddies and be sure to follow it on TribLive or your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Thanks for pressing play and being part of the journey. We'll see you next week, right here, where the best minds in golf share their stories.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.